This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. It's been a wonderful first hour on the show. And before we head to the second, we have our next guest on the line.
We do. Our next guest is Ali Khan. Ali is the 2019 Australian Churchill Fellow. And Ali's going to talk to us. Ali himself is a domestic violence survivor. And wants to talk about discussing research and raising awareness that domestic violence happens to gay men. Good morning, Ali. How are you?
Hey, Macca. Good morning, Macca and Nevena.
And thanks for standing up, for talking about this subject, you know, as a domestic violence survivor yourself. This is a subject that, you know, in our community is a little bit taboo. And it's one that a lot of people don't realise, perhaps how widespread it is. What has research shown you, Ali?
Well, if we just look at sort of what's happening in Australia, and I'm just going to have to say that research or statistics is still an issue where, like, if you're not seen and you don't report it, it's just not known. Mm. But ACON has said that 1 in 3 LGBT people experience DV from a current or former partner or a family member. There's been research from La Trobe University which says that 60% of their respondents from there, they have, do a regular survey called the Private Lives Survey, but we're looking at figures from 4 years ago. Half of those respondents are gays and lesbians have experienced intimate partner violence. So unfortunately, it's an issue, but we've got to talk about it.
And thank you again for joining us on the show, Ali. Nevena here. I'm interested to understand, what are the key drivers within gay male relationships, and what do you think is leading to the prevalence of using violence as either in a coercion or as a form of control?
Look, there are a couple of things. Some of the research talking to people, so I went across to New Zealand, Canada and the UK, I had to also take a bit of a step back, and some gay men don't actually know that their relationship involves domestic violence, and that violence within those relationships is regarded as normal. Mm. So that's a fundamental issue where we are seeing that as something which does not happen, or there's still like a thought that domestic violence only happens to heterosexual women. Some of the, I guess, behaviours which are, you know, concerning are coercive control that can be through isolating one's partner. It could be even threatening to out them or their HIV status. Mm. And one of the, it was an interesting quote. I was speaking to a lovely person, Janice Stevenson from LGBT Scotland, and she basically said that we've got to move away from thinking, you know, a bit of beef between two gay men is normal just because men should be able to defend themselves. So there's a lot of awareness raising there.
But men, you know, that line, you know, men should be able to defend themselves. Men should not be able to use violence to make a point. And you know, I think this is an issue that's really misunderstood, isn't it, Ali? Because it's not just about physical violence. It's emotional violence. It's psychological violence. It's taking financial advantage. You know, it's treating, you know, your partner less than equally. So it's not just about physical violence, is it?
No. And that's something also that, I guess, in recent times from the discussion of domestic violence generally, that we're talking about sort of non-physical aspects of domestic violence. If I could sort of go into my own experience, my rock bottom was when New Year's Day 2017, when I was physically assaulted from my then boyfriend, broken nose, fractured cheek. But it actually sort of started years before, where I didn't really know, but I was sort of slowly being isolated sort of from my close friends and my financial decisions. That sort of just, it sort of went away from me, and where I was even hoping that, you know, the banks and unfortunately cars was a thing that my ex liked a lot, that these dealers would help me. I just didn't, I knew it was wrong to some extent, but I was too scared to say anything.
And, you know, in this, we see governments around Australia talk a lot about domestic violence. I don't hear them talking much about domestic violence in the queer community, and particularly gay men. I'm not saying it doesn't happen elsewhere in the queer community. It does. Why do you think that is? Is it a challenge for them to even, you know, think about it, to even acknowledge it?
It's, I guess there's two things. Firstly, it is undoubtedly that a woman every week in Australia loses their life to domestic violence, and we are not at all discounting that fact by opening us in a discussion, the LGBTQI plus community into that. And there's also, if you don't know what you don't know, and if us ourselves within the community, if we're not speaking about it, then we can't sort of assume that others will want to speak about it or understand what we're doing. The tragic circumstances which happened last year to Jesse Baird and Luke Davies, that was probably the first time that the country got to see that domestic violence was something that could happen to gay men. But that sort of discussion or visibility, we've just stopped. We've just moved on to what the new unfortunate incident of the week is. We need to keep talking about what happens within our own community.
Ali, I'm interested to understand if you've seen in your research the impact of minority stress. So when we're speaking about that, we're talking about chronic stigma, discrimination and rejection, and how this might manifest in internalized homophobia. Does this have any connection that you've seen to violence between males in the gay community?
Well, that's a good point. In the UK, I was speaking to Respect. It's a domestic violence hotline, and they were talking about a particular issue when we're talking about minorities, as we're a minority within a minority, where people of colour or those new to the UK, without citizenship at that stage, were frightened to seek help. Of threat that they'd be deported, or they had nowhere to go, or in other ways, if they did have family in the UK, they weren't safe. They weren't safe to go and see them. So that's, I guess, another sort of factor. And unfortunately, some people just are bullies, and that's something which, I guess, is something which happens to not only just in the straight community.
And also recently, AIFS, which is the Australian Institute of Family Studies, has put out a study, and I was interested to know if your research has touched on anything about ambiguous power dynamics and gender roles. So they put forward that unlike heterosexual partnerships, where quote-unquote traditional gender roles can play and provide a template for control and resistance, in gay male relationships, it can lack that script for power and authority. And that ambiguity can foster a sense of competition or jealousy or struggle. Have you found any of that in the work that you've done?
It's interesting that you bring that point up. Again, if a lot of good work's happening in Scotland at the moment, and one of the organisations, again, I think it was LGBT Scotland, they were just sort of giving an example where were they saying that within gay relationships, the gender dynamics, it's assumed, for instance, this was a quote I got, like, housework is only seen to be done by bottoms, so hence they deserve less respect. So that's, I guess, an example there where stereotypes or internalized homophobia and sort of shaming of one's sort of role in a relationship has seemed to be less respectful, less, to some extent, less human.
Do you think one of the challenges here, and I remember many years ago, we were speaking with a previous Victorian Police Commissioner, Ken Lay, about domestic violence in my community. And, you know, he openly acknowledged that it was something that really police had no visibility of, or that they knew little about. Wayne Gatt from the Police Association had also spoken to us about this and acknowledged, yes, that the actual reporting mechanism, you know, is not very good, basically. And you then have to deal with discrimination within the police force. When someone wants to report domestic violence and they're a member of the queer community, that lack of a really robust and accommodating reporting mechanism is what is not giving us the data we need, isn't it? Is it?
Look, the police is an ongoing issue that we're all sort of dealing with. Police around the UK, Canada, and New Zealand, so they've recognised that that there have been quite public missteps, and we can even look to our New South Wales police being uninvited to the Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Whether frameworks, some police forces do still have their. The AFP have the gay lesbian liaison officer, and I would assume other states have
We do in Victoria too, yeah.
Similar arrangements, but how they've been set up and what they do and their sort of their dynamics and connection within the whole system needs to be sort of, I guess, updated. For instance, so you may go and ask for... a gay and lesbian liaison officer, but they may not be the duty team to report a domestic violence incident. So you may have to, you may speak to them, tell them your story, and then you have to do it to someone else who is in the GLO.
Yeah.
And that can be quite taxing.
Ali, thank you so much for joining us, sharing your research and sharing your story on Saturday Magazine. To any of our listeners out there, if this has brought up feelings for you, Rainbow Door is the free Victorian LGBTIQ+ service. You can send them a message on 0480 017 246 or give them a call 1800 729 367. Thank you again for joining us on Saturday Magazine.
Look, thank you, Macca, and And if I could just do a quick plug for the Churchill Trust. Churchill Fellowships are awarded each year to Australians who want to go overseas and bring back new knowledge and be a catalyst for debate and change. So they happen every year. The next sort of round will have a look in sort of early 2026, sort of around January, February. And I really encourage people to do that. It's for everyone. You don't have to be an expert. Just go out and make the change.
Thanks so much, Ali. You have a great weekend. Thanks for your time and thanks for standing up and talking about this. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. When we come back after a little break, Peter Curdy from the Centre for Independent Studies talking about the end of tolerance, or perhaps we need some more tolerance. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.